Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded that they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. So I think I missed one there. Number 26, and afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening, and it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun, as Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid. Laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. And he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof unto the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. Joshua passed from Libnah and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it and fought against it. The Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up to Eglon and all Israel with him unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned all Israel with him to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon, and all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp at Gilgal. They followed God's instructions absolutely. Oh, it's so mean. Go in and wipe out all men, women, and children. Pastor Day, why is it such a hateful God tell people to do that? It just seems so bad. You have to look at the first episode. There are two lines in this world I told you about. You have the seed of the serpent, and you have the Adamic line, and you have the others that were created earlier. You know, but the seed of the serpent has corrupted everything here. The Adamic line is on the verge of being corrupted. It already has corruption in it. But God says, come in here, wipe all of these people out, because these are really, really, really high, purebred serpent seeds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God has nothing to do with them. There's a Rephaim. There's even one, he says, those people are not even resurrectable.
Yeah.
You know, what is inside of those flesh bodies? We'd have no idea. Probably demons.
Yeah, it's like golems.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, there's so much more here. And like you said, you go to the book of Jubilees and the book of Jasher, and it will fill in the blanks. But God was not heartless. He had been working with these people, just like he told Cain when he didn't accept his sacrifice. Why is your countenance so low, Cain? Why are you angry? Don't you realize there's even salvation for you?
If you keep going.
Yes. But sin lieth at the door. And if you choose that, it will rule you. He chose that. The seed of the serpent rules them. Even if they want to do good in their mind, they can't. And that's why we all have that devil on one side and the angel on the other sitting on our shoulders. Because we all got a little bit of it in us now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I ain't got none of that seed of the serpent in me.
Right.
Yeah, I'll follow you around one day. Chapter 11, Book of Joshua. David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here today in God's Word, this magnificent manuscript full of truth and the way. And that's all God wants. This, you can read this book. I've read it over 100 times, so you can read it over and over and over and go over and over again. And the reoccurring theme is God wants your heart. Mm-hmm. Follow me with all your heart. He doesn't want your money. Doesn't want your cattle. Doesn't want any of your possessions. He wants your heart. If he has your heart, that means your mind is after him too. If he has your mind, the loves that are in you will be focused on him. You know what? They say that money is the love of money is the root of all evil, and I absolutely believe it. Money's a tool. Mm-hmm. Use it. You know what? And if your heart follows after God, you will have an endless supply of it anytime you need it. But if you love it, it might be hard to come by sometimes, because when you need to be charitable, you just can't give it up because you love it too much. Chapter 11, and it came to pass when Jabin, the king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and the king of Shimron, to the king of Achseph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and to the plains south of Chinneroth in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite on the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpeh. And they went out, they and all their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots, very, very many. So there's another band of kings. Let's all join our armies together and go out there and get rid of these Israelis, because they're just killing everyone. When all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hawk their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Now that there, it's always hurt my heart. I've been a horseman all my life.
Right.
Why the horses, Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, but if you go back to episode 2, I do believe it is, the animal kingdom had a failure with God also. You know, they're not innocent anymore. When the angels came down and copulated with human women, they also did it with the animal kingdom, and it was back when the animal kingdom was sentient, and men and animals actually communicated. Believe it or not, it's all here.
And that's in the Book of Enoch. It gives you the explanation of how they were doing that breeding with the animals.
Absolutely, but it required that the animal kingdom accept it. And they accepted it just like the human females accepted it. So the animal kingdom is corrupted just like the kingdom of man. So there's no one innocent in the world anymore. Whatever, you know, if you have a dark rider on your back and you're a horse, you're going to pay a penalty for it. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom. Suddenly, and they fell upon them, The Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Mizripoth-Maim. Wow.
He did really well with that.
Terrifying thing about this Bible are some of the names.
Yeah.
Mizripoth-Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpeth, eastward, and they smote them, until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hawked their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kings. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities, and that kind of gives you a clue to what kind of mischief was going on in these cities, because anytime there were dark arts and magic, that's when they would burn you with fire.
Yes.
When you were, you know, otherwise you get stoned or hanged on a tree. Mm-hmm. But it gives you a little between the lines on what Hazor and his people were up to. He was burned with fire. So he was dealing in the dark arts and the principalities in dark places. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle and the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servants, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses. But Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen, and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Helek that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at the time came Joshua to cut off... I'll just make a comment here. The Lord hardened their hearts. Mm-hmm. Oh, that seems horrible. Just like he did the Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. Pharaoh didn't have any control over the fact that each one of these curses and the plagues that were brought on Egypt... afterward, his heart would harden, because the Bible says the Lord hardened his heart. Just like it says, the Lord hardened these people's hearts. And I'll tell you why. You remember when Joseph went to Egypt? And Pharaoh was a young child, and Joseph became a father to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh actually grew up and believed God, knew who he was, and worshipped the God of heaven. Later on, when a different Pharaoh was there, 400 years later, Egypt had gotten their own gods. They were doing their own things. And God hardened his heart because he was no longer one of his servants, just like he did to these people. God had covenants with these people 400 years ago, and he worked with them and worked with them for 400 years until they had transgressed to where he would put them out of the land and bring the Israelites in. And he's done with them. He hardened their hearts. It might sound harsh, but God will deal with you for so long and so long and so long, and then he will turn and harden you to the point where you're destroyed in one way or another.
Like you said, you worked with them for hundreds of years, yes, to try to get them to turn.
Yeah, yeah. And the New Testament says, if you can't remove the sin from your life, God will allow it to destroy your flesh to save your soul. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Dibri, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Chapter 12, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. And these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain of the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, from the middle of the river and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, in the plain of the sea of Chinneroth on the east, unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, and the way of Beth Jezemoth, and from the south under Ashdor Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon and in Salcah and on all Bashan unto the border of the Geshurites and the Machahites and half Gilead and border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Baal-Gad to the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Helek, and goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession, according to their divisions, in the mountains, and in the valleys, and the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in all the south country, the Hittites, and Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. King of Jericho, one. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. King of Jerusalem, one. King of Hebron, one. King of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Elgon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Gedor, one. King of Hormah, one. The king of Arad, one. King of Libna, one. The king of Abdalam, one. King of Makdah, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hefer, one. King of Aphek, one. The king of Lashiron, one. King of Madon, one. The king of Hazar, one. The king of Shimron Miron, one. The king of Etchseph, one. The king of Tanech, one. The king of Megiddo, one. King of Kedesh, one. The king of Jokneam of Carmel, one. King of Dor in the coast of Dor, one. The king of nations of Gilgal, one. The king of Dizah, one. Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and 1. That was a lot of fighting. And it took months and months to do it. Don't think it was done in a week. Bible doesn't specify so much time here. But it does give you some notes in there where there was a long time fighting with these people. So we got the children finally possessing the land, and after they were kind of tricked into making an allegiance with one city, God said, don't do it with any of them. They were tricked into it. They're following God's plan and doing exactly as he said, wiping them out. They wiped out 31 kings and 31 cities. Absolutely, every last soul that breathed. And we discussed why that wasn't a harsh thing to do and why it wasn't God being a bad man. It was necessary. The seed of the serpent had to be stamped out. It's going to get in there anyway. God said, you got to put these people out. And he also said, when you see these things start in your camp, these little cancers, disobedience, worshiping of other gods, each one of you is responsible to root it out. Otherwise, it will grow and fester. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, Book of Joshua, 97.7 FM. It's been a good day to be with you. Please go back and catch our past episodes on WVFFradio.com and catch up with us. I promise you, there are things in those past episodes you have never heard before. But I'm showing you in black and white that they're in this book, and it's right there. But religion does not want you to know about it. You know God hates religion. Mm-hmm. Oh, Dave, you lost your mind. I said that to a fellow one time. What do you mean God hates religion? I'm Baptist.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
Religion has nothing to do with your spirituality. God wants a spiritual connection to you. Religion is a process you can do with your hands. God doesn't want anything to do with that. The law is a religion. You know, don't be confused. God wants your heart. He said, follow me with all your heart. That's all I want. You don't have to be religious. In fact, he says, if you want to hold on to any portion of this law that makes what Christ done of no avail, you're saying to Jesus Christ that I know all the torment and the blood that you shed, all the horrible whipping, the crown of thorns, being nailed, your body being pierced, nailed to a cross, hung there, all the sins of the world placed on you, which you felt in your spirit. I know you did that to give me freedom and salvation, but it just wasn't enough, Lord. I got to hold on to some of this law here because I feel holy when I do this. I feel holy when I tell my neighbor it's Sunday and I can't help him get his car out of the ditch because he'll say, oh, that's a holy man. He won't even get up on Sunday and help me with my car. Bad news for you, pal. Sunday's not the Sabbath. You've already defamed the Sabbath by going fishing on Saturday.
Yeah.
Now you're sitting at home telling you can't help your neighbor on Sunday?
The first day of the week.
The first day of the week? I think you have sinned more than you did by fishing on Saturday.
Yep.
God says if you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. And the law ends in bondage and death and separation from God. Don't be one of those that tells Jesus Christ, I know what you did, Father, but it just wasn't enough. I got to hold on to a little piece of this law so I can feel holy. And my neighbors, I'll appear holy to them. But it's been good to be with you here today. And we'll catch you again on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.